This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, April 15th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead, the final act for the new congressional district maps in Arkansas. Governor Mike Beebe signs the legislation into law. Plus, small businesses can learn how to better market themselves on the web next week in Eureka Springs. An Earth Day celebration in Fayetteville sprouts into an Earth Fortnight. And Amy Capilazzo, deputy chair at Christie's Americas, gives us a preview of her talk in Bentonville on Sunday. But first, this is the next to last day of the KUAF fundraiser for spring 2011. It's the final day that Ozarks at Large will be able to participate in this spring fundraiser. And things have been going very well so far today. We're well past $110,000 on our way to our final goal to make sure we have enough money to bring you all the programs you listen to on KUAF. Phone numbers 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. KUAF and public radio in your life, yours to protect or neglect. You can protect it by becoming a member. You can neglect it by hoping somebody else will do it for you. Becoming a member is one of the most important ways to express your appreciation for the fine programming that's available to you every day of the year and to protect it for today and the future. Don't neglect your public radio habit. Figure out what it's worth to you. Figure out what you can afford. Then call 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. You determine the amount of your pledge. If you would rather break it up over monthly installments or quarterly installments, you can do that because we know it can sometimes be difficult to pay the membership you want in one lump sum. That's why we try to make it as easy as we can for you to become a member. It's sort of an installment plan. You can pay in monthly or quarterly installments. Our phone volunteers are happy to help you set up the plan that suits you best. And you can automate your installment payment, by the way, by using a bank draft or by using your credit card. Just say, take if it's worth $10 or $12 or $5 a month for you to have public radio and to support your public radio station, you can do a bank draft or set it up monthly or quarterly on your credit card. It's a no-fuss way to meet a monthly or quarterly installment. If that sounds appealing to you, you can call us at 575-5823 or 800-522-5823. Put your plan into the works today so we can plan for more great programming in our future. It's your financial contribution that pays for the bulk of our programming budget. It's your financial contribution at the amount you can afford and the amount you choose that continues to bring you Science Friday, All Things Considered, Fresh Air, and all the great local programming you hear on KUAF as well. 1-800-522-5823. 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com, and thank you very much. This is Ozarks at Large. Governor Mike Beebe has signed into law the congressional redistricting plan agreed upon by lawmakers. The plan shifts several counties from northwest Arkansas, including Madison and parts of Newton and Crawford counties, into the 4th District that now covers most of south Arkansas. But it does not annex Fayetteville the way an earlier map had proposed. The governor says he didn't like that plan, even though it was favored by his own Democratic Party.
Well, I think it would have alienated a lot of people that are in the Democratic base that didn't like it and wouldn't have liked it, and I think it would have been counterproductive. But that's just my personal opinion. I don't have any empirical data on that. I just think it would have, I think it might have backfired.
Governor Beebe says he would have preferred to split fewer counties between districts, but says that apparently wasn't possible. The plan splits 5 counties to help ensure that an equal number of people are represented by each member of Congress. The governor says he sympathizes with people distressed that their county will now have 2 different congressional representatives, but he says the final map isn't drawn to favor either political party.
I think, as evidenced by the vote between Republicans and Democrats, for and against, I think both parties think that probably the congressional districts that are in play are still in play, and those that aren't still aren't.
And speaking of governors, former Arkansas governor and former U.S. President Bill Clinton is paying a visit to his boyhood home in Hope, Arkansas tomorrow. Clinton, joined by Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, will walk through the two-story frame house. The house is becoming part of the National Park System. Mark Keith, Hope's Chamber of Commerce Director, says the visit marks a new start for the site.
The National Park Service has taken over that site. The Clinton Birthplace Foundation that operated it gave the property to the National Park Service earlier this year. And so the National Park Service is starting to operate as a national park site, and he's here to dedicate that.
Bill Clinton's last public appearance in his hometown was in 1998. Mom-and-pop businesses in Northwest Arkansas can get a crash course in internet marketing next week. The University of Arkansas Small Business and Technology Development Center will host Keys for MEs, the conference for your micro-enterprise. It will take place Monday and Tuesday in Eureka Springs. The workshop will not only inform and motivate small business owners, but also help them develop their own online marketing plan. Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri-Madolkar has this report.
To help rural communities and businesses tap the immense potential of the Internet, the University of Arkansas Small Business and Technology Development Center is organizing a workshop called Keys for MEs, the Conference for Your Micro-Enterprise. The workshop will be held on Monday and Tuesday in Eureka Springs for Northwest Arkansans. Jacqueline Woven, Executive Director of Eureka Springs Downtown Network, is helping organize the workshop. She says, since most business conferences deal with corporations, the mission of this workshop is to provide mom-and-pop businesses with much-needed information.
They need someone to help them understand online marketing that will fit for a one or two person business, because that's overwhelming. They can't hire someone to do that for them. They also needed help with it. Well, they always need help with customer service training. That's an ongoing thing that never ends. And then motivating. We have a speaker who will be speaking just about motivating themselves and if they have employees, which doesn't seem like an obvious thing that they might need. But the truth is that large businesses have programs in place to motivate their employees. And really tiny businesses have a hard time with that. So, yeah, they came to us asking for specific things.
The workshop will feature internet and rural marketing expert Joanne Steele from California. Joanne worked as a tourism director for Siskiyou County, close to the Oregon border, for 10 years. Taking a cue from major metropolitan areas that were using the internet to their advantage, Joanne set up a website to promote the rural county, which was very effective in attracting visitors. She then decided to use her knowledge in helping rural communities market themselves effectively online. During a telephone conversation, Joanne said, even though the workshop is about internet marketing, participants will not use laptops or computers.
What we cover in our class is how to target and identify your perfect customer, the customer that's going to love you exactly the way you are right now. We're living in an era right now where authentic is what people are looking for. Slow food, locally owned businesses, shop local, all of those things, which are the hallmark of a rural area. So we take a look at who those customers are, and then we take a look at how the internet is set up to make it easy for us to reach them. And then we'll look at what a website should look like and how it needs to be crafted to successfully attract customers who are then going to make buying decisions based on what they see. And then we'll take a look at social media.
According to Joanne, internet marketing is becoming increasingly popular over more conventional methods of marketing. Even in rural areas, more and more customers check their smartphones to find stores or restaurants.
In my workshops, I'll point up the fact that we are in a situation, in a transition, actually a transformative moment, similar to what the world was going through at the turn of the 20th century when electrification was the big consideration. And what we saw at that point is that towns, little towns that dragged their feet and didn't make the transformation to electricity simply ceased to exist. They were off the grid, and because they were off the grid, both for highways and for electricity then, they simply became ghost towns. And what I warn rural communities about right now is fight for your high speed, because this is the equivalent. This is the communication pathway.
The event is between 2 and 6 p.m. on Monday and from 9 to 5 on Tuesday. It will be held at the Basin Park Hotel in downtown Eureka Springs. Jacqueline Wolven, Executive Director of Eureka Springs Downtown Network, says not only is this conference a great learning opportunity, but participants will also leave with their own online marketing plan.
Starting at 2 o'clock on Monday, Joanne Steele will speak for 3 hours, and then directly following her, we will have a keys reception for all of the registrants in the atrium room, which is right next door to the Ozark room where the conference is happening in the Basin Park Hotel. And then at 9 a.m., we will have Linda McFarlane, who will be speaking on customer service. She was a full-time customer service trainer, and now she is a small business owner. So that's a great opportunity. And then at 10, we have Sharon Sperlin, who will be speaking about motivating yourself and your employees. From 11 to 12:45, you will lunch on your own in hopefully downtown Eureka Springs. At 12:45, we have the SBA group from the U of A coming in to speak about the options and resources available right here in our region. And then at 1, we have the Democrat Gazette talking about print marketing and how you can fit that into your business. And then starting right at 2, Joanne will finish her online marketing piece, and that runs from 2 to 5.
The Micro Enterprise Workshop, Keys for MEs, the conference for your micro enterprise, will be held on Monday and Tuesday at the Basin Park Hotel in downtown Eureka Springs. To register, log on to esdn.ticketbud.com/keysconference or call Jacqueline Wolven at 479-244-5074. You can also register the day of the event. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Iti Agnihotri Madholkar.
And this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, April 15th. And if you're sweating over filing taxes, remember you have until March 18th, Monday, because of a holiday in Washington, D.C. And as long as you're thinking about money, you might want to think about your financial contribution to KUAF. It's a simple process, and it's a process that we leave mostly up to you, because you determine how much you pledge to KUAF. You also determine how you do it. Would you like to call in your pledge or email in a pledge? If you call in, we can send you an invoice and you can send us back a check. Or you can just put it on Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. You can have a bank draft. You can have it done in monthly or quarterly installments. You determine what you pledge. So assess the value of public radio in your life. The fact that you can have Morning Edition or Weekend Edition start you off every day, or All Things Considered catch you up on the day's news every day. You can hear the news from Lake Wobegon. You can play the What Do You Know quiz and play along with the Sunday Puzzler on Weekend Edition with Leanne Hansen, or the Piano Puzzler on Performance Today. And that's just a fraction of what you can do with public radio and KUAF in your life. So think what that's all worth, and then remember that each of those items I mentioned comes to us with a price tag. We write a check to NPR and PRI and American Public Media. We also write checks for the power that keeps the station on the air. All of these expenses we can pay because we know that you and listeners like you know that we have to hear from you in order to pay. Here's how it works. You listen to public radio. You use public radio. You determine what you can contribute to public radio. We put that contribution with thousands of other listeners' contributions, and then we can write the checks to NPR and PRI and APM and the electric company. You determine the value, and whatever it is, I bet you think it's a bargain. When you subscribe to a magazine or newspaper or cell phone service, you don't really get to negotiate the price. Here, you set the price, And then you can sit back and listen for the rest of the year knowing that you've helped pay for the service you rely on. 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. Supporting a radio station with your financial contribution may seem like an unusual concept. Listener support, though, is the main way in which KUAF pays its bills. Listener donations help us pay for the programming costs, the supplies, the equipment, the utilities to keep KUAF on the air for you every day. And in return for your pledge, you receive thousands of hours of award-winning news, classical music, jazz, folk music, Ozarks at large, humor on the weekends, a lot. Do your part and become a member of KUAF. You can call 575-KUAF, that's 575-5823, or 800-522-5823, and make your pledge of support and thank you. Sunday afternoon, Amy Capolazzo, the deputy chair of the auction house Christie's Americas, will speak in Bentonville. The talk at Old High Middle School on Northwest 2nd Street is sponsored by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and is free to the public. Amy Capolazzo specializes in post-war and contemporary art. Recently, she helped facilitate the sale of a Roy Lichtenstein painting for more than $42 million. She says there has been a global explosion in interest in post-war art over the last 10 years.
You could say it's grown 300% in both its, in both the values have certainly gotten exponentially higher, but also, most importantly, the range of people buying, who's buying from where, has grown tremendously. I can say in my, I've been at Christie's about 10 years, and in my first season, the buyers from our Star New York auctions came from 7 different countries. And in my last sale, which was in February, London, the buyers came from 21 different countries. And that kind of globalization in buying of contemporary art really reflects, I guess, globalization of wealth now. We're starting to see not just buyers from America and Europe, kind of typical countries, Japan, I guess. We're now starting to see buyers coming from, you know, countries 10 years ago that would you would never have dreamed someone would come and be able to buy pictures for millions of dollars. But we're seeing all sorts of billionaires and collectors coming from all over the world.
If you have more people that are interested in post-war contemporary art, are there more post-war contemporary artists that are that people are interested in?
Yes, I think, you know, you could say that there's always, you know, we're unique in my business in that we're certainly one of the only areas of the auction house that has new inventory coming online every day. If you are my colleagues who are involved in, say, old master pictures or American paintings from the earlier part of the 20th century or 19th century pictures, I mean, their inventory is finite. It's never growing. And in fact, it's probably shrinking because as things get gifted to museums or put in institutional collections, they're no longer traveling on the open marketplace. And, you know, in my field, young artists are making new art. Some of them get really early accolades and incredible praise, and they develop markets for themselves, and suddenly we're selling them at auction for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and boom, next it's millions of dollars, and then you have a real market. So we do have the advantage of being a growing market just in sheer number, but what I think is really remarkable is you're starting to see buyers from all sorts of different countries come in and want basically American treasures.
The names that come to mind certainly in this era would include Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein. Are they still two?
Mark Rothko,
Jackson exactly.
Pollock, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that by and large are the most sought after. Of course, it branches out a bit, you know, but you can. And there are some European artists, of course, in this category. We just saw world record prices for Martel Reyes, a French artist, and Lucio Fontana, an Italian artist. It happens, of course, for Francis Bacon and Lucian Freud. They're both British artists. But really what's the most interesting, if you say that, if it's understood or at least postulated that the greatest moments, the last 50 years of art have been dominated and triumphed by America and American artists, then you can be sure that that's currently what's the most sought after. by many of these buyers coming from new parts of the world.
Does it also help the post-war art market that you have people now coming of age that can afford to buy art and are interested in art that grew up in a pop culture world with comic books and television and things like that?
Oh, definitely. I'll tell you, for example, you know, the hallmark of you know, an imprimatur of wealth and status for someone who's made money in their 40s or 50s is to get an Andy Warhol. If you, you know, in my parents' generation, or let's say a group who are now in their 70s or 80s, it would have been a Picasso.
Sure.
You know, even if it was a Picasso print worth $1,000, it was like, you know, we've made it, we have a Picasso. And now that the same standard bearer of status and coolness and sophistication is having a Warhol.
What can people expect you to talk about on Sunday afternoon?
Well, I try to make the talk really lively and interesting and have wonderful visuals. So people will be seeing, you know, a wonderful selection of currently what is the most desirable artwork in the marketplace right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably give a couple of snippets of great moments of art. You know, if I can give a kind of Reader's Digest condensed version of why something is a great object, like what qualitatively makes this sought after and desirable and valuable. I'll do that in certain instances. And then they'll talk about, I guess I'll be discussing what's being mirrored in our larger economy, which is that lots of wealth has been established and grown abroad, and you're starting to see a full globalization of the marketplace, not just in the art market, but we might be the little tail wagging the dog, you know, little tiny piece of the puzzle, but we are just mirroring what's happening in the larger market.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for your time and safe travels.
Thanks very much. I look forward to being there on Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much. Amy Capolazzo is the deputy chair at Christie's Americas. Sunday afternoon, she'll deliver a talk at 2 at Old High Middle School on Northwest 2nd Street in Bentonville. The talk is sponsored by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and is free, but be advised, seating is limited, so early arrival is suggested. The 9th Annual Northwest Arkansas Take Back the Night March will be held tonight at 7 at the Arves Plaza on the Fayetteville Town Square. The event hopes to raise awareness regarding sexual assault. It's being organized by a pair of groups, Star Central and Respect. The former is an office in the Pat Walker Health Center on the University of Arkansas campus and is support, training, advocacy, and resources on sexual assault and relationship violence. RESPECT is an acronym for Rape Education Services by Peers Encouraging Conscious Thought. It began as a program of Star Central. A national study reveals 25% of college women have been assaulted. Elizabeth Childers is a graduate assistant at the Pat Walker Health Center. She says she comes across such cases on a daily basis at the health center.
Well, it's not just women. Of course, men also go through sexual assault and rape during their time in college and during their lifetime as well. So we have services for both men and women on campus using our Star Central facility on campus. And also, we've got a counseling and psychological services on campus as well. For those people who don't feel comfortable sharing their story with people that are on campus, we have facilities such as SARPA, which is the Northwest Arkansas Rape Crisis Center in Springdale that we have access to as well.
The Take Back the Night March is one of many activities planned during the month of April, celebrated nationally as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It begins tonight at 7 at the Fayetteville Town Square and will feature an opening address by Mayor Lionel Jordan. Participants will then march to the University of Arkansas Union to remember and honor the victims and survivors of sexual and relationship violence. Tonight's event is free and open to the public. This is Friday, Ozarks at Large, for the 15th day of April, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Becca Bacon-Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
Hey, Kyle.
Hello.
You know, every time I drive up College and hit the corner of Dixon Street, I think about something that I'm not sure everybody else thinks about.
I know what you think about, because we've talked about this before.
I think about Bloody Corner.
Right.
Before the sun rose on April 18th, 1863, 900 Confederate soldiers claimed East Mountain and positioned a couple of cannon. They were trying to take Fayetteville, which was being held by about 1,100 Union troops. The battle started at 8 o'clock at 6 o'clock on April 18th, which is 148 years ago Monday.
Right, sesquicentennial in a couple of years.
And so you know that this Saturday, Headquarters House will remember the Battle of Fayetteville. This year, however, is different because we're starting the sesquicentennial celebration.
Right. Tuesday was the 150th anniversary of the beginning, the shot.
Exactly. And even though the Battle of Fayetteville didn't happen until 1863, we're kind of kicking things off now. And so events at Headquarters House will include period dancing, living history, lunch, 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Saturday. And then on April 23rd, the Fort Smith National Historic Site is marking the day that Companies D and E of the 1st Cavalry under Union Captain Samuel Sturgis were led to safety by a Delaware Indian Scout. And they're going to have someone portraying that Indian Scout and leading troops out of the fort several times that day. And on April 30th, the official sesquicentennial kickoff takes place in Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then on May 12th, in Eureka Springs, they're having a Chautauqua-style event.
Yes, they are.
Called Civil War in the Ozarks, Facts and Fascination. So you can read more and see a timeline and all of that in today's What's Up. And we'll be having things, well, throughout the next 4 years.
I was going to say, yeah.
So we're also celebrating Earth Day.
Earth Day proper isn't for a few days yet.
April 22nd.
Right.
But we're going to celebrate for about a week and a half. So there's an Earth Day 5K mm-hmm. at 8 o'clock Saturday at the Janet Huckabee Arkansas River Valley Nature Center near Fort Smith.
A little bit south of Fort Smith, right.
There's an Earth Day celebration Saturday from 8 to 5 at Hobbs State Park Conservation Area.
A little bit north of Rogers.
And that includes a visit from Lynn Scambato of Morningstar Wildlife Rehabilitation Center with her raptors. That makes me happy. There's an Earth Day celebration from 1 to 5 Sunday at World Peace Wetland Prairie
mm-hmm.
on South Duncan in Fayetteville. And it has an interactive exhibit that brings attention to the world's endangered animals and a live acoustic song circle. All sorts of fun. And then clear down the road on April 26th, it's Earth Day at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville.
A bunch of school children are going to be involved in this.
Almost 2,000
yeah.
of the little darlings. Showing up from 9 to 2 to celebrate Earth Day, and the theme is Reduce, Reuse, Recycle.
That's right.
Saturday's also Razor Fest.
Which is in line with the spring football game.
So you can go at 10. There's a pep rally. Then there's games and inflatables and an autograph station. And mascots and giveaways, and then at 2 o'clock, the Spring Red White game begins, and it's all free.
I was once asked by a friend of mine who knew nothing about sports about the spring football game. Why does it happen? I said, well, it doesn't really count. It's a scrimmage. It's sort of a practice game. And then she asked, well, why do they keep score? And I really didn't have an answer for that. I don't know if it doesn't count, but they do keep score.
They're
kind
televising it this year.
On ESPN, one of the ESPN networks, national
television. So that's interesting. I don't know if that addresses hopes for next fall.
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of hopes for next fall, but I also think it addresses the fact that the SEC has this fantastic contract with ESPN where most of the SEC spring games, I believe, will be on one of the networks.
So there you go.
Yeah.
If you just can't live without football until fall, we got you covered.
And Razor Fest includes all sorts of stuff for kids and families.
Oh, yeah. And
autographs,
like I said, autographs,
right.
And you can go and meet the mascots, and who doesn't love Big Red? And so, and then it's Easter, Big Red, Big Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Easter isn't until the 23rd, but there's all sorts of events this weekend. There's the Hershey's Egg Hunt,
mm-hmm.
20,000 eggs. And it is happening starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday at Orchards Park in Bentonville. There's different age groups. And the rain date is the 17th. You do have to pay $3 to $5 for that.
Now, when you say Hershey eggs, they're not real eggs.
No, they're not real
eggs.
They're
chocolate eggs.
They're chocolate
okay.
eggs. The bunny does not make real eggs.
Right.
There's an egg hunt with 40,000 eggs.
Oh, boy. Okay.
From 1 to 3 on Saturday at Williams Elementary in Farmington.
40,000?
Yeah, so they say.
Okay.
The mayor's egg hunt is at 3 o'clock on Saturday at Veterans Park in Rogers.
Right.
And the Easter egg hunt at the Boys and Girls Club of Fayetteville is from 3 to 5 on Sunday for ages 2 to 11. I always love it when the ages say 0 to whatever.
Right. right.
Let
Not
me
quite.
Think about that. And then there's theater. I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
Oh, so many shows started last week, and you still have a chance this weekend to see them.
And it's the last chance for most of them. So, Ladies in Retirement, a murder mystery, On the Moors, how can you not love it? 7:30 today and tomorrow at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. Reasons to Be Pretty. They call it a coming-of-age story by Neil LaBute, who also wrote In the Company of Men and Fat Pig. I haven't seen it yet, so it may be brutal Neil LaBute.
I'm going tonight, opening night.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see this.
7:30 today, 2 and 7:30 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday at the Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. Sex, Please, We're 60.
Fort Smith Little Theater.
Calling it a laugh-out-loud adult comedy. 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, final weekend. Tickets are $10. Arsenic and Old Lace, one of my favorite shows in the whole world. What happens when a newspaper reporter discovers his little old maid aunts are
not
murderers?
So precious, yes.
Yeah, not so
exactly.
Precious. 8 o'clock today and tomorrow, and 2 o'clock Sunday at Rogers Little Theater. And The Secret Garden.
Arts Live.
Arts Live is this weekend. The story of Mary Lennox, a selfish and temperamental child who ends up going to live with a relative and finds this garden and restores it and restores herself at the same time. And it's 7 o'clock today and 2 and 7 tomorrow at the Arts Live Theater.
That's a lot of theater.
That's a lot of theater. And this just in.
Yes.
You may have seen it other places, but we don't want to leave you out. Remember, Little Big Town was supposed to be here on April 5th.
Had some flight problems getting out of Las Vegas.
They were in Las Vegas for the Academy of Country Music Awards, as were a lot of other people. So a power outage combined with Southwest Airlines canceling some flights, combined with all those other people trying to leave Las Vegas, meant they didn't make it for the Washington Regional Foundation Gala.
But they will be here.
April 27th, 7:30 at the Walton Arts Center. And if you have tickets for the original date, they will be honored. Tickets are still available for balcony seating. It's $75 for the performance and reception and $45 for the performance only at 443-5600.
And an egg hunt that has 40,000 eggs, that's 3,333 dozen eggs.
I wondered what you were scribbling over there.
I just wanted to figure that out.
That ought to be enough for everybody who wants an egg.
That's right. Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and this is just about the last day. Tomorrow we will continue the spring fundraiser, but it is the last day that Ozarks at Large participates in the spring fundraiser for KUAF. Thanks to the thousands of you who have called in so far, this has been a tremendously successful fundraiser so far. Important words, so far, because we're not done yet. We know what we have to raise during this fundraiser to make sure that we have enough money to bring you Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Prairie Home Companion. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, On the Media, Thistle and Shamrock. The list goes on and on. You can probably recite 5 or 6 programs that you look forward to throughout the week. If that's the case, then you're using KUAF quite a bit. And if that's the case, please remember that more than 70% of our budget comes from people who use KUAF the most. We pool the money from contributors, listeners just like you, who help us pay for the program. So if you use this service, please consider helping pay for it. You determine the amount that you pay. It's as simple as it gets. If you use KUAF, we ask you to pay for a portion of it, but we let you determine the amount. It's totally up to you. 1-800-522-5823, 575-5823. In fact, even the decision to support KUAF is left up to you. But when you call in and contribute, you're doing your part to ensure the future of your radio listening habit and the radio listening habit of people all over Northwest Arkansas, the Arkansas River Valley, Eastern Oklahoma, and Southern Missouri. If it's time for you to renew your membership, please consider doing that now. If you've never been a member, but you've been listening for some time, you have probably heard us talk during this fundraiser and previous ones that we can't be here without you. We won't be here without you. So if you haven't contributed yet, please do so now, 800-522-5823 or 575-5823.
Hello, I'm Ofebia Quistankton, NPR's West Africa correspondent.
I've come onto the deck. It's just gone 2 a.m. and the sky is full of stars. There's a little breeze. And compared with all the hustle and bustle and all the human activity and the goats and the chickens and the monkeys and the trading that goes on and the shouting.
The response to the Congo River series was absolutely phenomenal. What pleased me most was the fact that listeners felt that they were on the journey with us, it would seem. And many listeners, those who had been to the Congo, said, oh, it reminds me of my time as a Peace Corps volunteer in Congo. You had others writing in to say, I've never been to Congo in my life. I've never been to Africa in my life, but I really felt I was there. That is the power of public radio, isn't it? And you make that possible with your contribution to your member station, directly making these sorts of stories possible. And that's why your contribution to public radio is so vital. And we thank you for that.
Quickly again, the numbers, 1-800-522-5823, 575-5823. You can pledge online at KUAF.com. You determine the amount. You even determine how you make the payment and when you make the payment. But we would encourage you to call in now. From everyone at Ozarks at Large and KUAF, thank you very much for your support of Public Radio, KUAF, and Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. Earth Day, 40-plus years after its inception, is growing, not just in the number of people participating, but in length. Around here, some expand the single day into a week or longer of events dedicated to sustainability. A Fayetteville-based event will let people earn marks on a green passport for several days and will include multiple events. It begins tomorrow with a birthday for the Earth. What do you get the planet that's been around for 4.5 billion years? As Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas reports, some live music and a lot more.
Michael Lawley of the Treadwell Institute conceived the idea of a birthday party for Earth last year. The self-proclaimed Earth Day nerd noticed that there were a lot of green events around the time of Earth Day, but other than those on the actual day, none of them recognized it. Last year marked the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. Lolly and friends came up with the idea of an eco-passport, linking the events together. He likens it to a game day schedule, listing all of the events, plus restaurants and businesses that are offering Earth Day specials. When one attends a listed event or dines in one of the restaurants, they receive a stamp. The eco-passports will be collected at the end of the two-week-long celebration, and participants will be eligible to win some green prizes. The festivities kick off tomorrow with a fun-filled day of activities, including a birthday party for Earth.
We're starting the 2 weeks or 14 days with an eco trade show from 8 to 2. We've got about 50 exhibitors, green businesses or businesses that have green services or product offering. A lot of nonprofits will be there, and it's in the intent of the eco trade show is to just raise the specter of the public's awareness that right here locally, in our own backyard, we have options to the status quo.
The birthday party is a zero-waste eco-potluck. The idea of the potluck is meant to strengthen the idea of community, everyone feeding each other. Attendees bring food in a washable dish and something that can be served on a napkin. The beer that will be served is from the greenest brewery found, and wine will be certified organic wines. Displays from the City of Fayetteville, the University of Arkansas Community Design Center, and the Fayetteville Forward Inclusion Group will highlight their accomplishments over the last year.
And they've actually got an exercise where you can fill out, basically fill out in writing, make a pledge, or express a deep personal thought about inclusion and about community and about sustainability, and by just simply going through the exercise of writing it, you're exerting your will on the universe. And what you can do is, it's private, and just the fact of thinking about it and reflecting on it and then the exercise of actually writing it changes the course of the universe.
Mayor Lionel Jordan will also be reading a Fayetteville Earth Day proclamation. One of the aspects that Lolly seems most passionate about is in an effort to teach and include a younger generation. He distributes cardstock to schools and asks students to make a birthday card. One side is an art tribute to Earth. The other, the kids write a sustainability resolution for what they would like to accomplish by the next Earth Day. Lolly hopes to track the cards and see how the resolutions change as our sustainability education continues.
So let's say, for example, hypothetically, that 70% of the respondents to the birthday card mentioned recycle more. As we continue to do the Earth Day cards, and as individuals and kids begin to advance their own sustainability, those things become written into the collective consciousness, and they don't, they're just what we do. We no longer need to mention recycling, for example, as advancing our sustainability because we already do it. So what we would hope is that perhaps 5 years from now, if 70% of households are engaged in recycling, then when we collect the birthday cards, maybe only 28% of the respondents are even mentioning recycling towards advancing their own sustainability.
The birthday cards will be on display for the duration of Fayetteville Earth Day festivities. Other Earth Day activities include a film series at the university, a creek cleanup, and a mixer at a local green gym. The festivities conclude at Springfest, April 30th. Eco-passports will be checked and stamps counted. Participants' names will be entered into a drawing for various green prizes. Those with the most stamps get the best prizes. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
Passports for the day's long celebration are available at any of tomorrow's events. Christina Thomas is energy correspondent for Ozarks at Large. Support for her work is provided by Energy Corps. And more will be happening on the Fayetteville Square tomorrow. Bicycle Fayetteville Days begins tomorrow morning. There will be bike rides, bike safety classes, bike contests, and bike raffles. Greg Mitchell and Stephanie Shepard, two of the organizers of Bicycle Fayetteville Days, recently came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to discuss the first ever festival, and they explained why they decided to construct the festival in the first place.
I've been around bike racing and bicycles my whole life. I actually grew up in Little Rock and coming up here and spending time actually with Joe Martin. And so I've been around bicycling my whole life as a part of my family.
Joe Martin being that multi-day race that happens every May.
And the person that it was named after was a good friend of my father's.
Okay. So for Bicycle Fayetteville Days, it begins on the 16th.
April 16th. Mm-hmm. And it's going to run for that week. The 16th is our main day of activities. And then we'll have some other group rides and activities throughout the rest of, which is Earth Week. We're leading up to Earth Day there.
One of the things that happened, there's a mayor's proclamation on Saturday on the 16th, and after that is an urban ride.
Right.
Yes.
I find this interesting because many people love to ride their bikes on the trail, this wonderful trail system that's in Fayetteville now, maybe around some of the streets that don't have a lot of traffic, because not everyone's confident in traffic. This urban ride will hit both of those, but also will take place on College.
Yes.
A busy, busy street.
Well, we really wanted to embrace the idea and endorse the idea of the fact that bicycles are a viable transportation, and it is a part of our city street system. And in fact, because there are concerns with safety and using a main thoroughfare, we want to be seen, but we also want to be safe. So we're going to do a little coaching on rules of the road, and we've engaged the bicycle police and have been working with them and talking with them about the safety aspect. So it's kind of a dual role there to have people see bikes, but also get cyclists thinking about safety and how to be a part of the traffic flow.
I guess part of the proof that bicycles are becoming more popular in Fayetteville is the fact that you have plenty of sponsors for this, and a lot of them seem like no-brainers.
We were very pleased with the sponsors that came out to help us. A number of the bike shops, Adventure Subaru, Creative Awards is donating T-shirts to us. It's been great.
It's not really a festival until you can win something. Can I win anything?
Yes.
There is an art bike contest, and we're hoping a lot of people will dress up their bikes and come out and win some prizes.
And we also have a raffle for a new Belgian cruiser bike, their new 2011 cruiser bike, which is a super fun deal. And the raffle tickets are only $2, but you have a chance to win this amazing bike.
You mentioned it, you opened this up to bicyclists of all kinds, those who do it for pleasure, for transportation, and not everyone prefers to bike on pavement. anything for those people who like to dirt bike or mountain bike, I guess. Yes.
Yeah, that's really I'm a mountain biker.
Okay.
But we're working with Ozark Off-Road Cyclist, and they've agreed to actually lead a ride around the dirt trail at Lake Fayetteville on Saturday, April 23rd. And so we definitely reached out to that community, too, because there's people like me who prefer not to fight with cars. We like to get out in the woods.
And fight with rocks and
tree
roots.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you do fight with those, too.
Yes,
but there's people. I mean, I literally ride a $10 bike to work every day. So this is for all kinds of bicyclists. And don't feel like you need to be out there in your spandex, you know, or on your rock hopper. You know, this is if you've got a bike, we don't care what it's like. In fact, the Fayetteville Police Department is going to have a booth where they will inspect your bike for you. So if you have a bike that you haven't taken out yet and you're just not sure if the brakes work, or bring it on down and they'll look at it for you.
There's also part of Bicycle Fayetteville Days, a women's bicycle workshop.
Yes, actually, this is at the Bike City Recyclery, which is just off the trail there, off of Center Street. And they do this regularly, but they also agreed to put one of their clinics as a part, or add that to our festival schedule, because that's also the kind of thing we want to encourage, is people to be comfortable with their bikes. And if, you know, you should know how to fix a flat if you're stuck out there. And this is a really nice opportunity to partner with someone who's already doing something in town to promote bicycling, and then they just were allowed to join in, and we're really thrilled to join in with our festival.
Obviously, part of this is to get more people interested in bicycling.
Yes.
We hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on out.
Everything except the raffle ticket, I believe, is free. Is that right? I mean, show up, ride your bike?
Actually, we have a gear swap that's going
right.
on, and to attend the gear swap, it is free. But if you would like to have any sort of components, parts, whole bicycles for sale at the gear swap on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's going to be in the East Center Plaza lobby, you need to bring $5 with you. We're going to do a $5 fee, and really that's just to pay for the tables
right.
and chairs. So,
people want to know more, there is there's a website.
Yes. It's www.bikefaydays.org. And so it's a takeoff on the Bicycle Fayetteville Days. We just shortened it. So bikefaydays.org. We're also on Facebook.
All right.
And I want to make sure we mention the Rugrat Ride. This is at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, the 16th, kids 7 and under. We're going to close off the square, all four corners. There'll be no traffic. And the kids are just going to have at it. They can just, you know, ride around and around.
What else should we know?
Well, even if you don't have a bicycle, but you just want to show up and see the sights and be a part of the crowd, please do on that Saturday. There will be all sorts of activities going on the town square, some of them having to do with our festival, with the farmers market, and then with the Earth Day celebration. So it's for everybody. Even if you don't bring your bicycle, come and see the show.
Is there a theme song for the event?
Well, I don't know. We haven't come up with one yet. Okay. But if someone wants to write one.
Well, there you go. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
You bet.
Greg Mitchell and Stephanie Shepherd are two of the organizers of Bicycle Fayetteville Days. It begins tomorrow, and more information online at bikefaydays.org.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black, I say white. You say bar, I say bite. You say shark, I say him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
Music from Queen, Bicycle Race. I felt merely nostalgic when that song started, but then rather old when I heard the lyric, what is it? Jaws does nothing for me, and I don't like Star Wars? If you've been listening to public radio for a while, if you can remember when Jaws and Star Wars came out, perhaps it's time for you to pledge to KUAF and to Ozarks at Large. This is one of the final days. We're actually in kind of the final hours now of our spring fundraiser for 2011. It's going very well, thanks to everyone who has called in so far. But if you haven't done so yet, please remember that all of the programs you listen to on KUAF do cost money. Morning Edition, All Things Considered, all of the NPR news magazines that you probably listen to almost every day, rely upon to find out more about the news and more about why things in the news happen or might happen. All of those programs put together will cost KUAF this year more than $180,000. Don't panic. We don't think that you should pay the entire $180,000 tab. In fact, we suggest that you pay what you can afford, what it is worth to you. You can make that payment 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can pledge online at KUAF.com. We know what we have to raise during the spring fundraiser, and we're getting closer all the time. And we take this money raised in the fall fundraiser, and of course there's also, or in the spring fundraiser, and there is also a fall fundraiser. We also receive money from listeners throughout the year, longtime members of KUAF who might renew without an on-air fundraiser. Perhaps they renew every May by mail or every December. And then there is also support from local businesses. The University of Arkansas gives us support. We put that all together, and that's what helps pay the $1.1 million budget for KUAF. Just like any other business, lights to keep on, a transmitter to keep going, things to do here to keep us on the air. Now, we have a lot of sources of funding, but the single biggest, more than 70%, and the single most important is you and listeners like you. 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823, or you can pledge online at KUAF.com. We think it makes entirely the most sense to ask the people who use KUAF the most to pay for it the most. If you haven't renewed your membership yet, you've been meaning to during the past few days during the spring fundraiser, if you have a moment right now, why don't you call in or go to your computer? Again, the number is 575-5823. 1-800-522-5823 or online at KUAF Now. Look for the button on the left that says Contribute Now, and thank you.
Hi, I'm Scott Simon, host of NPR's Weekend Edition. Public radio is a partnership. Each day, we do all we can to bring you good radio, informative and enjoyable. Now, in exchange, we ask that once a year you make a membership contribution to support this station. Your contribution is vital. Listener support is public radio's most important and reliable source of income. Here's how you can make a positive difference.
You can make a positive difference right now by calling 1-800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at KUAF.com. And thank you. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Malco Theaters and their fan page on Facebook. Fans receive direct movie information to their email inbox on the web at facebook.com/Malco Theaters to join. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Springdale. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Thanks so much for supporting local programming on KUAF. Your contributions to KUAF support, yes, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Wait, Don't Tell Me, but also Ozarks at Large, The Pick and Post, Shades of Jazz, The Generic Blue Show, and all of the other local programs on KUAF. And speaking of Shades of Jazz, live jazz tonight in the Furman Garner Performance Studio, the Claudia Burson Trio will be on hand. Live music tonight in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Shades of Jazz begins at 10 o'clock tonight. This is KUAF 91.3 FM. Thanks so much for all of your contributions.